When I was little, I hated to go to bed early. In the summers, I'd always ask my mom if I could stay up an extra hour. 1 hour, I'd say. And she said, okay, score. 1 hour. But in just a couple days, that 1 hour became the norm for me, right? So now 9 o'clock felt like my normal bedtime, which just seemed too early. So I'd go back and ask again. Mom, can I stay up an extra hour? I'd bat my little hooky eyelashes at her, and before long, I had that woman eating out of my hand. Another hour. Boom. That's 2 hours. 2 more hours in my day. 2 more hours of life. It may not seem like that much to you, but let me give you a little perspective. When we talk about noise, the noise of life, there is good noise and noise that just consumes us. Let's say some of the noise in our lives consists of TV, social media, browsing the internet. And sometimes this noise is for building substance and connecting us with friends and family. But let's be honest. In most cases, watching TV, posting, scrolling, video watching, searching is just noise that wastes our day. Let's say you invest 2 hours a day in social media noise. It could be more, it could be less. 2 hours a day, and multiply that by 7 days a week. That equals 14 hours invested in noise per week. Let's say these 14 hours are represented by these 14 boxes. Every hour in the noise is represented by one box. 14 hours multiplied by 4 weeks in an average month equals 56 hours per month in noise. In a month, we've built a wall consisting of 56 boxes. A month of your life just searching YouTube for treasure, looking at Instagram, scrolling Facebook newsfeed, being discontent with your entire house because of Pinterest, watching 100 different versions of CSI on Netflix. In a year, that's 730 hours. Being that there are 365 days in a year, those hours equal out to 30 days. That means one whole month of your life per year is spent in noise. You know, when I think about growing up at 10 years old with 2 extra hours in my day, I had just added an entire month to my schedule. That was a lot more fun, a lot more chasing girls, a lot more ding-dong ditch, a lot more backyard football, a lot more noise around the house. And when my mom did the math, when she figured out that while I had gained a month on my life, that she had lost a month on hers. You know what she said? She said, Dave, you make too much noise. You're too loud. You're making me crazy. Now go to bed and stop making all that racket. Well, if you feel a gnawing and that pull from within you for more meaning or to be a part of something that matters, just think what you could do if you replaced some of the noise with time with God. I'm not talking about throwing away your iPhone or not watching TV for good. What I'm getting us to think about is being intentional with our time. What if we replaced some of that time and the noise with time with God? I believe our lives would be different. And that's the journey we're going to be on this morning. Hearing God in the noise is our topic. And so as we begin, I want to welcome you all here to the Carmel campus. It's so great to be here with all of you. I want to welcome all of those watching online. I want to welcome those at our Fishers campus and to all those at our Greater Lafayette campus. And to all of our guests, it's so great that you are here today. Well, as we begin, let's go to God and ask Him to bless our time together. Father God, it is so good to gather together as the body of Christ, to worship You, to praise You for who You are. And so, God, we thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for just who You are, God. You are worthy of our praise. So, Lord, right now, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would work, that You would move in our hearts and our minds, that You would challenge us, You would encourage us. God, You would move us to be more like You. And, Father, as we talk about the noise in our life, God, I pray that You would speak to us and let us know that there's nothing greater in this life than being able to hear from You and to be led by You. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Well, recently, I got back from a fishing trip to Canada. I took my dad's spot on the trip, and I was with his best friends and pastor from his church, and it was a special and meaningful time, and we caught a lot of fish. We estimated we caught about 1,600 fish for the week, which is just incredible. And it was a catch-and-release lake, so we threw them all back and just had an incredible time. Well, the last day, as we packed up and waited for the float plane, I was on the dock just enjoying the sounds of Canada. The loons were making their beautiful sound. I could hear the birds and the trees swayed and rustled in the wind. I was being still and at times just praying. I just asked the Lord to speak to me, and I told him I was listening. A little time went by, and I could feel the wind as I sat on the dock. And then as I looked out over the water, I saw the ripples that turned into waves. You see, the wind was coming from the northwest, and the waves were being moved by the direction of the wind. And I felt the Lord speak to me in my spirit that lots of things will try to direct our lives, try to move us in a certain path. But the wind was like God. We can't see him, but we feel the effects of him. Is God directing our lives? Is he the one we are being moved by in our lives? You know, in life we have good intentions, but we end up being directed and moved not by the Holy Spirit, but by noise in our life. For instance, on a typical day, some of us use our cell phones as our alarm clock. And after we hit snooze a few times, we roll over, and the first thing that we do is we check our email, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram to see what people have posted. Sometimes it's good things we see, and sometimes it's things that irritate us. And so basically, the first thing that directs our day is what people are saying or doing. And so we get ready for the day, and then we're off and running to work or taking the kids to school or meeting up with friends. And we never took the time before we got moving to go to God's word and to be still and to let God direct our day, to allow him to speak into our lives. Charles Spurgeon said, "It's a good rule never to look into the face of man in the morning till you have looked into the face of God." What a great reminder that the first thing in the morning for us should not be directed by what other people are saying in the noise, but be directed by what God is saying, that he should be moving our lives. So how do we hear God in the noise? We listen. So the question today is, are we listening? And what it comes down to is, do you want to run with the world? Or do you want to walk with God? So this morning, let's look at Exodus 3 and the story of Moses and the burning bush. And to give you context, Moses was raised as an Egyptian prince and had the highest education and lived in luxury. However, he found out that he was a Hebrew. And there was an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And when Moses thought that no one was looking, he killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. And the next day, some Hebrews knew of his murder, and the news spread to Pharaoh. And then he wanted to kill Moses. Moses then fled to Midian. He met Zipporah, married her, and the next 40 years of his life, he tended sheep. So let's look at Exodus chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, it's going to be on the screen. Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 1. "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up.' And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses said, 'Here I am.' 'Do not come any closer,' God said. 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground.' Then he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob.' At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God." So Moses is tending sheep that are not even his. They're his father-in-law's sheep on the far side of the desert. He grew up as a prince of Egypt, and now he is hiding as a shepherd. And what I love about this passage is the reminder that God can still speak to you on the far side of the desert. Maybe you have made some major mistakes in your life. Maybe you've really messed up. You messed up with your marriage. You've hurt your kids. You got fired. You made terrible financial decisions. You said things you have regretted. And many of you have struggled with your relationship with God because of this. The guilt, the shame, the embarrassment. Can I just encourage you? God spoke to Moses on the far side of the desert, and he can still speak to you wherever you are. And maybe you came to church today reluctantly. You came here today and you haven't been in church in years or ever. You might say, God can't speak to me. Friends, he can. And he wants to speak directly into your life. You are loved. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are set free. You matter to God. Seek him. Go to him. He loves you. He has a purpose and plan for your life. And if God can speak to Moses on the far side of the desert, if God can speak to Jonah in the belly of a whale while he was running from God, he can speak directly into your life no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter where you find yourself today. He wants to speak directly to you. You matter to God. There's nothing greater to hear than that, is there? Friends, we matter to the creator of the universe. No matter what we've done, he loves us. And so there at the mountain, Moses encounters an unquenchable burning bush. And fire is a common biblical symbol of God's presence. The fiery bush is a symbol of the divine, a window into God's presence that both reveals and hides. God comes down from the mountain to meet Moses in the bush. And at the same time, the flame is a sign of God's awesome and powerful holiness, a fiery holiness that is both dangerous and attractive, frightening and comforting, untamed but reassuring. And this makes me think about the awe of God. Do we come before God with reverence, with awe of who he is? He created the heavens and the earth. Did we come into worship at each of our campuses here today in awe of God, with reverence for him because he is holy, and where we are standing is holy ground? We are in reverence because he is an awesome God. In Psalms 33:8, it says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." Exodus 15:11 says, "Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders?" Psalm 89:7, "A God greatly feared in the council of the holy ones and awesome above all those who are around him." Our God is awesome. He is majestic. He's magnificent and holy. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. We worship his holy name. And that's what we do. We worship him. And the spiritual danger here is that when the awe of God is absent, it's quickly replaced by the awe of ourselves. And we live in a selfie generation. We depend on our own gifts, our own talents, the job we got, the nest egg we built, and we miss the awe of God and how he moves and orchestrates the things in our lives. We give glory to ourselves and our accomplishments. However, we are here to lift up God's name and not our own, because it's about him, and it's always about him. That will never change. It is about Jesus. I also think about the bush. Something very ordinary, yet God spoke through it. And I believe there is that window into God's presence all around us. We just have to look. God is everywhere, and he's speaking to us, but are we listening? So if you take out your notes, I want to cover a few points of how we hear God through the noise. How to hear God through the noise. We look for him all around us. Here's something that I've noticed. God speaks to us through our kids. So many times when Don and I are putting our kids to bed, I'm amazed at the questions that they ask about God or the statements they make in such a child faith-like child way. And our five-year-old, Maya, is our mini preacher. This is a picture of Maya. We call her our mini preacher because before she goes to bed, so many times she'll share a Bible story that she learned at preschool and ways that we can apply it in our lives. It's pretty amazing. She'll tell us at different times, "Don't get mad, but I love Jesus more than you." And we'll say, "Why?" And she'll say, "Well, he's my heavenly father." You know, not too long ago, Don was having a tough day, and just a stressful, one of those tough days, and they're at the grocery store, and Maya just started singing in the aisle at the grocery store out loud these words, "Open up your eyes, take a look around you, and you will see all that God's done, the smile of a friend, the love of your family, everything good is sent from above." You know, God speaks through our kids. Have you had similar experiences through your kids, your grandkids, nieces and nephews? God speaks to us through people. You know, a couple weeks ago when I was traveling back from Canada, our float plane was supposed to arrive at 6 in the morning. Well, it didn't come till 12:30. And so we didn't get out of International Falls, out of the border of Canada, till about 3 p.m. And so we were going to have to travel all night. And so we're traveling all night, and it's one of those times in the middle of the night, it's 2:30 in the morning. We come to the Iowa 80 truck stop, world's largest truck stop in the nation, I guess, Walcott, Iowa. Don't know if you've ever been there. So we stop there at 2:30 in the morning, get a break. We're walking in. I see another guy walking in. He's got a Colts hat. He's with his two-year-old. And we go over to Wendy's, you know, nothing like Wendy's at 2:30 in the morning. And pretty soon, he comes over and he says, "Hey, Pastor Dave, how's it going? I'm from the Carmel campus." And he begins to introduce himself. We begin to talk, and it was amazing. And God just totally encouraged me. You know, no matter where you are, what time it is, God can encourage us. In the middle of Iowa at a truck stop, which felt like I was on the far side of the corn desert, God encouraged me. And I also realized Northview people are everywhere. It's amazing. Well, I love to go to movies. And when I do, it's the preacher in me that's always looking for spiritual meaning. And Don and I's last movie besides How to Train Your Dragon 2, which had so many spiritual meanings, but we'll have to talk about that one later, was The Fault in Our Stars. Seen this movie? Having lost my dad to cancer this past year, it was a tough movie for me. It's a story of two teenagers both going through cancer and how they fall in love and cope with their sickness. And I just came out of that movie thinking about how sad it was that the characters go through trials and struggles in life with no faith. You see, Hazel and Gus, the main characters in the movie, saw themselves as pawns of the stars and not beloved by the creator of the stars. And after watching that, I felt like God was showing me that without him, life is nothing. Without him, life is empty. And with him, there is love and hope and purpose and meaning to our lives. And even in suffering and dying, this isn't it. This life is preparation for eternity with our amazing God, which excites me to spend time with him. I don't want to run with the world. I want to walk with God. So that when I get to heaven, I know my Savior because he knows me. And I want to spend time with him now in preparation for what's to come. There's a small book I read a long time ago that was written in the 1600s. And it's called The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. It's a real tiny book. It's a real short book. It's about a monk who each day tried to train his mind to be thinking about God. Whatever he did, he praised God. If he was working, he thanked God for the gifts he had, and he tried to find joy in his work. Whatever he did, he wanted to practice the presence of God in his life. So how do we hear God through the noise? We look for God all around us. We practice the presence of God, and we fix our minds on his presence at home, at work, driving in the car. It's about thinking about the goodness and faithfulness of our God. It's being grateful that God has saved us. He has blessed us, friends. He is good. And so we practice fixing our minds on his faithfulness throughout our life. So how do you hear God through the noise? We listen to his voice. Luke 5:16 says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Jesus was busy, and people were always demanding his time. He was traveling from one town to the next, healing and teaching. People were always wanting a piece of him and his time. Sound familiar to our lives? All of us here are busy. And anytime you ask someone how they're doing, typically what do you hear? Oh, I'm busy. And a lot of times we correlate that busy with that we're doing well, that our lives are good. However, in Jesus' busiest times is when he prayed more. Isn't that a great reminder? If Jesus needed time alone to get away from the busyness of life, we certainly do. However, we have a hard time with silence, don't we? Been in a small group and no one answers for 10 seconds, it never fails. Someone can't handle the silence and they will jump in and start talking. We live in a world that struggles with being still and being silent. Do you have a hard time even being on your computer and not scrolling through multiple things at once? We struggle with silence. Check out this internet video.
I dare you to watch this entire video. I dare you to watch this entire video. No skipping ahead, no pausing, no opening another tab and letting this play in the background. I dare you to sit still and do nothing but watch a single 3-minute internet video. It's difficult for you, isn't it? You're becoming bored. Your brain is beginning to itch inside your skull, begging for a morsel of distraction from the internet. And you're holding it together for now, but the truth is, you're frightened. It's been so long since you've tried to focus like this that you don't know if you can do it anymore. And this video is boring, isn't it? Maybe you think it's a trick, that there's some reward for sticking it out. You think that at 2 minutes and 50 seconds, a funny message will appear for a frame or two, and you'll only see it if you watch the whole thing. You've probably already scrubbed along the bottom of the progress bar to see if that happens, right? Well, it doesn't. There's no joke, no prize. There's just you and this video. Either you watch it or you don't. I dare you to watch it. But the obstacles are mounting. That was an email. That was a new post on Instagram. That was a celebrity who just died on Twitter. Maybe it was Shaq. Everyone's tweeting about Shaq's death and you are missing it. Are you comfortable with that? That was 10 seconds, but it felt like a year, didn't it? A decade of instantaneous entertainment has made you so mentally soft and fat that you find even 10 seconds of boredom excruciating. How sad. Remember when you were a child? You could spend an entire hour watching an ant crawl across a rock. One afternoon, you checked out a library book, and you were so engrossed that you read the entire thing in just one day. When was the last time that happened to you? The truth is, you are weaker now. Attention is the scalpel you use to cut away the fat from your life, but the internet has robbed you of it. And now, instead of choosing what you experience, you drift from tab to tab full of content you hate, like a hungry ghost who will never be full. Your life is filtering through your fingers, and you are doing nothing to stop it. But if you watch this entire video, if you make the choice to sit and be bored for these 180 seconds, you will have finally taken the first step in regaining control over the one truly unrenewable resource in life, your time. Less than 3 minutes ago, I dared you to watch this entire video. In a moment, you will have won or lost, and only you will know the difference. Either way, the dare will be over. To decide what you'll do with the rest of your life, you'll have to dare yourself.
We can't stand the silence. Have we been trained where we can't sit still? I mean, have you been at a stoplight? And that stoplight might take 20 to 30 seconds, but it never fails. We grab our phone to check it because we can't stand the stillness. He says in that video, we will mindlessly go from tab to tab, looking at stuff we hate like a hungry ghost who will never be full. We can continue to fill our time with noise and never be satisfied, or we can replace some of the noise with time with God. When all the noise is gone, there is only God. Let me say that again. When all the noise is gone, there is only God. I know finding the quiet is hard in my house and maybe similar in yours. There have been so many times in my life with little kids where I thought I would wake up early and have time with God. Guess what? The kids wake up and are asking me to make breakfast, and then the day is up and going. I get it. It's hard. Life is unpredictable. However, let's keep getting up early because not every day will be like that. Or let's take time in the car or during our lunch breaks or the kids' nap times to spend time with God. Wouldn't it be great to start the day with God and end the day with God? We can replace some of the noise in our lives if we start and end our days with God. So what does a prayer time or quiet time with God look like? Well, the Bible says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. So if you've never had a quiet time before, you may not have a good, simple plan for doing one. Simplicity is important with any plan you develop. If you make it complicated, you're more likely to get off track. All you really need for an effective quiet time is a Bible and a notebook. It can be as simple as starting with quieting yourself before the Lord. Then say a quick prayer. God, here I am. Clear my mind and thoughts. I want to hear from you. Then start with a passage of Scripture. And this is where your conversation with God begins. He starts speaking to you through His Word, and then you speak back to Him through prayer. Read the Bible slowly. Don't try to read too quickly or too much. The more slowly you read Scripture, the more you're forced to think about what you're reading. Meditate on the passage. Meditation is not emptying your mind. It is deep thinking on spiritual truths. As you read, linger over the verses that impact you. Ask God questions and listen for His answers. Does this passage present some truth that should change what you believe or the way you think about God? Does this passage prompt you to praise God or thank God for something specific or trust God in a situation? Is there something in this passage you should pray for yourself or for someone else? Does this passage bring to mind a sin you need to confess? Write down what you discover. When God speaks to you through His Word, care enough about what He's saying to write it down. Writing enables us to remember what God has said to us and to record our discoveries. This can be our journal. And we can also journal our prayers to God. And you can end your quiet time by praying. Talk to God about what He has said to you. Tell Him what you're thinking about what He's saying. Talk to Him about anything else that's on your mind. Or just simply be quiet and be still before God. However, there are other ways we can be in communication and in prayer with God everywhere we go. I heard this from a friend who says every time she gets to a stop sign, it's a visual reminder in her mind to stop thinking about all of the things going on, to stop and pray. Maybe as you go around in a roundabout, you can pray for your circle of friends. And if you have a lot of friends, you can just keep going around and around the roundabout. Well, you can simply start having a quiet time or being still with God for 5 minutes and build from there. But start somewhere. There are devotional books, Bible apps on our phones. It can actually read the Scripture out loud to us. We must start somewhere. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time and you know all of this. And I just want to encourage you that a lot of times through the years, we have beaten ourselves up for not doing enough. Many days I've beat myself up or have felt that God is disappointed in me because I didn't read God's word that day. And some seasons of life will be more hectic than others. But let me say this. God never wants you to feel guilt or discouragement. He just wants to meet with you because he loves you. Just remember, if you miss the morning quiet time, know that we can practice the presence of God throughout our entire day. Well, Exodus chapter 3, let's go back to that here in verse 7. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. God hears us when we cry out. Just because he hasn't responded doesn't mean he hasn't heard. Maybe you feel like God is mute in your life. You needed to hear from him yesterday about your situation. Remember, in school, the teacher's voice is the only one heard. But when they would hand out the test and give us those Scantron tests and we had to use the number 2 pencil, the teacher would get silent. You see, the teacher is always silent during the test. But we have to trust God that he provides in his timing. And we have to trust him. And just because he hasn't responded doesn't mean he isn't working, because he is. He's working all around us, and he's moving in our lives. So God spoke to Moses to go. He would free the Israelites. He would be part of the answered prayer that the Israelites have been praying. So when God speaks, he speaks purpose into us. Even when we are in the desert, God speaks purpose into us. God is speaking purpose into you. He says you matter. You have a role to play in the kingdom of God. And maybe he's speaking to you about a decision that you need to make, a job transition, a ministry you need to embark on. Maybe he's speaking to you about stepping up and being a tutor at School 54. Maybe he's calling you to step up and volunteer at Lafayette Transitional Housing Food Pantry. Maybe he's speaking to you about taking a risk for him. You need to trust him. Is he speaking to you about stepping out in faith and to share Christ with a coworker or a neighbor? And I feel like we've had so many great sermons this summer that have prompted us to reevaluate our lives in the noise. Maybe God is speaking to you about a pattern of sin that needs to change in your life. Maybe he's speaking to you about how you only seek him when times are bad, and he's wanting you to seek him when times are good and of blessing and of calmness. You see, when God speaks, he calls us to obey. We don't need to do more. We need to do what he says. So how to hear God in the noise? We read his word. Do you want to see God's character? Do you want to know his love for us? Do you want to know your future? Do you want to know how God is calling you to live? Do you want your life to be directed by God? Friends, it's all here in God's word. And so our prayer is, God, give me a passion for your word, because this is how you're speaking to me. Give me a passion so that I can know how you're directing my life, how you're calling me to live, how to love the things that you love, the things that matter to you. It's all here in God's word. Give me a passion for the word, God. Give me a passion so that I won't go a day without diving in to hear from you. I want the word to direct my life. And you know, we'll never get rid of all the noise in our life. However, we can choose what directs our life. And I want to challenge us here at Northview that we are people that make time for God because we desire to and that we love Jesus. We are a people that get direction in our life from Him and not social media or gossip. And maybe you need to fast from social media or mindless internet use for a while, or fast from watching TV and use that time to spend with God. I think you will be amazed that when we are fed by God, how our lives will change. So the question you have to ask yourself, do you want to run with the world or do you want to walk with God? Right now at all of our campuses, we're going to go into a song called Quiet. And my prayer is that during this time, we can still our hearts and our minds and just listen. Just listen to Him. Will you pray with me? Father God, we come before You and we thank You that You speak to us, that no matter where we've been or where we find ourselves in today, that God, You want to speak directly into our lives. God, thank You that You are so big and so vast and so amazing, yet You desire each one of us, that You know us by name. And Father, that You love us deeply. And so, Father, I pray that You would just speak into our hearts about the value of our time and that there's nothing greater than spending time with You and in Your Word. And so, Lord, right now, may we listen. May we listen to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Northview, this week, may we enjoy the presence of God in the quiet, in the stillness, in our coming, and our going. And if you need to take a moment in this place as we dismiss, if you just need to be still in here and to take a moment and just pray to God, maybe you just need to be still before Him. I want you to take a moment and just be still before Him in this place as we dismiss. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Have a great week.